Hello, hello everyone. Yeah, it's my pleasure to welcome you to our latest Twitter Spaces with this time with CrossFiles for what promises to be a very interesting conversation about decentralized cloud storage. As always, I'm Mihnea, community lead at Oasis, and I'll cover the latest updates before everyone settles in. The biggest update of the week is, of course, our upgrade to mainnet. Because after months of development and testing, migrating to the latest release called Eden was successfully completed, and I'm happy to say that Oasis Core 23.0 is fully functional. The update happened yesterday at epoch 2817, and unfortunately, some unexpected challenges were discovered, but fortunately, our Oasis engineers and validators came up with a very creative solution to overcome this. And of course, an in-depth review of what happened will be released very soon. Just wanted to say this because there were downtimes yesterday, and I know we got a lot of support requests in the community, and just wanted to clarify that. In other news, on December 5th, at 4 p.m. CET, make sure you don't miss the latest episode of Meet the Oasis Team, this time with our lovely Andrea, head of HR and culture, and I'm happy to have her on the show, as she'll be sharing what it's like to work at Oasis and what it takes to flourish in Web3, and of course much more. Also in December, we'll be hosting our end of the year community town hall, so make sure you keep an eye out on our socials for the announcement. And I want to encourage you to check our blog, because our content team has been pushing out amazing content lately. We have a lot of new blog articles worth reading, so just head on over to oasisprotocol.org/blog, and you'll find them all there. And last but not least, of course, new courses on the Oasis Academy. And the new course will be coming out today. So go to oasisroles.garden/courses, and you'll find all the courses there. And that's it from my side. I want to hand off the mic to Matei, our BD manager. Take it away, Matei.
Thanks, Mihnea. Hey, everyone. Happy to be here again, doing another Twitter Spaces. And this time, yes, as Mihnea said, we have here CrossFiles with us, and the one lonely Jesus Christ. Lud, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Matej. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Can you tell us first how did you come up with the Jesus Christ? You're the almighty person at CrossFiles, or
Our project is called Crust Network, and the Jesus Christ was too close to the Jesus Crust. I couldn't neglect that, and so far the feedback had been great, and always a good starter for any discussion.
Oh, that's true. That's a good icebreaker for sure. Yeah, so a quick intro. So I'm Matei, the BD manager Oasis. You probably see me on these spaces and other engagements quite often. And yes, we have CrossFiles with us. Lud, can you do a little bit of a quick intro of yourself, apart from you being the Jesus Christ, also about the project itself? Maybe not all of our listeners are aware of, what Crust is and what Crust does. So maybe if you can give us a quick overview of that.
Yeah, sure. Maybe I start with a few words about myself. I'm Lud, or the Jesus Christ on Twitter. I'm currently based and talking to you from Germany. I'm with Crust for the last 2 years, I think now, pretty much. I'm currently in the role of head of BD. Before my Web3 experience and journey, I was involved in Web2 as a co-founder of a software as a service company. And love to do some pioneer work, and Crust Network is a great place to achieve that. Crust as project was founded in 2018, so we're already quite OG. And we are a layer one blockchain which is purposefully built to provide decentralized storage and hosting solutions for the IPFS ecosystem. So for those of you who don't know IPFS, IPFS is pretty much the most adopted and battle-proven distributed file storage in Web3. Large players like OpenSea, Uniswap, etc. leverage IPFS in many different ways. And the only downside to IPFS is that it's not incentivized, so users can enjoy all the storage services for free, but on the other hand, they don't get any service guarantees. And when we're talking about persistent data, permanent data, valuable data, then we want to make sure that this data persists and you also have a guarantee for the availability of this data over a very long time. And for that, we need an incentive and service layer on top of IPFS to basically enable all of this. And that's basically what Crust Network is doing by providing a blockchain-based protocol to facilitate those services from our miner side to users who can use those services totally permissionless by interacting with our on-chain storage market directly on-chain. Our vision is not just to stay within one ecosystem or to be associated with just purely one ecosystem, but to provide our storage services in the most seamless way to pretty much all ecosystems out there. In fact, we have like a designated EVM storage protocol where we deploy our services to Ethereum. We are actually mentioned in the official documentation of Ethereum as recommended storage partner, but also many layer twos. But also non-EVM ecosystems like Solana, Aptos, we are covering with our services. And usually we do that by deploying cross-chain smart contracts natively to the ecosystem. That means that builders, developers, and users can natively interact with our services in their own ecosystem by calling the smart contract directly. And this is something that puts us ahead of other alternative solutions or competitors that might be a little bit more known than Crust, for example, Filecoin. They don't offer this degree of interoperability, not in a Web3 native way. And that's where Crust Network really can set itself apart.
Yeah, that's amazing. And on the topic of interoperability, you know, I think we're very much aligned here. As for us, you know, privacy is the same way, right? We're not looking to just try to get people into our ecosystem if they want to use privacy, but bring it to the whole crypto ecosystem, you know, and enable any dApp on almost any chain, right, to utilize these features, you know, and just gain benefit from Oasis Sapphire, whether they're on Ethereum, Polygon, you know, any other EVM compatible chain.
That's pretty much the same perspective. With Oasis privacy services are pretty much handy for any kind of solution service across multiple ecosystems. And the same it is with storage. Basically, any kind of solution built in Web3, built digitally, somehow has a demand for storage or hosting services. And this is super general. And this counts across all different ecosystems. And yeah, so we shouldn't limit ourselves to just one niche.
Yeah, that's exactly the ethos of crypto is, you know, composability. Not everybody builds everything, you know, but you have somebody focuses on one thing, the other on the other, and then you get the best thing out of putting those things together. You know, similar to how you focus on data, you know, we're the privacy focused project. And then, you know, if you need encrypted data that's similarly to get the encryption keys, you know, you utilize Oasis to get that done, right? You don't develop your own solutions to keep to store those encryption keys, you know. Or maybe you can speak a little bit more, you know, what really pushed you, you know, towards, because there is possibility to have encrypted files you know, without Oasis, but what was the key driver here to look for a solution like Oasis, you know, how it improves the UX in your opinion for the users?
So looking at the, let's say, standard encryption methods, especially when we're looking in the environment of cloud storage providers or comparable to solutions to Crust Files, for example, Dropbox, etc., Then you usually have two options to encrypt your data or to make sure that it's at least private in some way or the other. One would be by client-side encryption, which means the user encrypts the data on his side before he uploads the data. But then the issue is then he has to manage the keys. He can run into issues by mishandling his keys, by losing his keys due to his personal own mistakes, because his device where it's saved breaks down or whatever. And the other alternative is somehow a, let's say, custodial solution where the platform operator offers an encryption service for the user, but the keys are actually stored centralized and under the management of this centralized institution. And we as user have to put our trust in the code of conduct that this provider won't use the keys he's storing for us on our behalf to access our data. With Oasis, we actually have the possibility now to combine the beauty out of both worlds. So on the one hand, we can make sure that that no other third party is in possession of the user keys by storing the keys on Oasis. And on the other hand, we can make sure that the user always will be able to access his keys. By downloading it from Oasis, he can do that directly via Crust Files in our case, as long as he his account is associated with his key storage. And that makes it super easy for the user to manage its keys. He doesn't have to worry about storing his keys at like a super safe location, having a redundancy, putting it into another safe, whatever. And he also don't have to worry about the inconvenience that comes with encryption and using different devices. Because when you have the key locally on your device and you want to access your encrypted data from another device, then it's super inconvenient because you have to export the key from one device, import it in the other to actually access it. And by having the keys on chain, you can access it from anywhere at any time.
Yeah, exactly. So in this case, you basically need to back up only your, let's say, in this case, one is using MetaMask, you need to back up MetaMask seed key, seed phrase, and then you can have unique encryption keys for any file you want, and you won't have a problem retrieving that, to decrypt the files that are being uploaded to Crust Files, right? So it's not like you would need to handle all these encryption keys, as you said, back up in different safes, different devices to ensure that you don't lose anything. Because let's be honest, with MetaMask, you need to store it safely because you have funds on there, and this is just an extension of what this access offers. But I think in the future we'll even go beyond that, with a counter-extraction where you potentially will be able to, store even the private key on chain as you can with Oasis, and then you can decide which is the authentication method you want to use for these types of things. Either be it security keys, biometrics, I think the future is bright on making the UX as simple as possible for users, and it's being done step by step, I think. So one step is like this one here, where you're providing simplicity for the users to not have to worry about encryption keys. But yeah, I think things can go even further from here. What's your kind of vision for the future for Crust Files? If you can share a little bit more with us about that as well, coming to the year end, you're maybe kind of looking back at 2023 and planning for 2024. If you can, obviously, if you can share that with us.
Yeah, sure. So 2023 was quite a big year for us so far. With many different product launches, with our EVM storage protocol, many events, many new partners on the ecosystem side. Crust Files is pretty much our B2C showcase for our underlying technology. It's actually just a very small part of what we have to offer with our portfolio of services. And yeah, Trust Files is like a B2C Dropbox application for end users to store their data via a super easy web browser interface, to showcase actually how easy and simple it can be to leverage Trust Network for decentralized storage services. What we did this year was a big move towards more commercialized solutions, for example, where we introduced a very new concept of NFT-based storage capacities, which is quite new and quite innovative. So what we do is we use the concept of an NFT as vehicle or as container to store data within. So what you can do is you can go to our dApp, you can mint a, we call them Web3 storage bucket, for they come in different sizes, 10 gigabyte, 100 gigabyte, 1 terabyte. And afterwards, you own this NFT, the storage resource within your crypto wallet. And with this NFT in your wallet, you can access your storage resources anytime. And this actually offers a great solution for the ownership issue of data, because so far it's super hard still to track ownership or assign ownership for decentralized data. And by putting the data into an NFT or by wrapping this NFT around the data, we basically can treat our data capacities in the same way we treat all of our other on-chain assets. We have full ownership of it via our MetaMask, via our non-custodial wallet. We have a full proof of ownership, which is verifiable on-chain. We can transfer this asset, including a record of ownership, basically the same way like we treat all of our other on-chain tokens, and even can put it on NFT marketplaces because it basically just isn't ERC-721 NFT like any other PNG would be. And yeah, this is a very new concept. And I think I see potential synergies with encrypted data in for this product as well. But we are still quite early, we just launched, I think, 6 months ago, and we keep rolling it out to other ecosystems. That's what we focus on right now. But I think encryption for having the data totally private within our NFT data containers would be a great use case with Oasis as well, and probably could leverage what we did at Crust Files just for our buckets as well. That's something I have in mind personally. But apart from that, I think looking in the future, I think we both recently had like a one-on-one appointment, and we also had some great ideas about how future corporations of Oasis and Crust Network could look like. I don't want to drop too much alpha, but yeah, maybe you want to say a few words about that as well.
I mean, this is all very interesting. Like even the tokenized, so you're basically tokenizing like the storage space in the form of NFTs.
Exactly.
Does that help with the whole GDPR thing? If you're like the owner of that space and your data there is owned by your bucket, does the provider need to still need to kind of be mindful of GDPR or not? Because this is your.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't be able to overcome GDPR guidelines and frameworks with this solution. It definitely helps with proof of ownership of data, but GDPR goes beyond and goes even up to the infrastructure level. For example, within Europe, institutions are not allowed to store data without of the European Union, or on servers that are located without of the European Union. And obviously, when you have a decentralized network where its first priority is to keep the data as decentralized as possible, this basically goes against its vision of decentralization.
Exactly. It kind of goes against the crypto ethos, right?
Yeah.
Where we're trying to decentralize majority of services that we interact with. So even
But
GDPR might need a review with this technology coming into the front central.
Yeah, it's a super, super interesting topic, though. We often discuss with institutional prospects or clients that basically have the same questions and have to make sure that they act according or frameworks and regulatories. Especially with IPFS, which is super decentralized by design, makes it quite hard because once your data is on IPFS, any kind of IPFS node could pick it up and store it, although like you might not get any rewards for that. But that's how IPFS works, almost like a torrent kind of system, where peer-to-peer nodes can basically just draw data from each other to keep it hosted and to keep it available. There are some workarounds for that. For example, you could run your own private IPFS subnetwork. You could work with geofencing of nodes and so on. But yeah, those are all just things we didn't really tip our toes in yet, because that would open a lot of other new challenges. So that's why we currently focus on the Web3 side, where those things don't play too much of an issue or are
Do
not too much of an issue.
and so because you're talking more about this, within the team and within your space, maybe just one last question about GDPR. Do you maybe know if data is encrypted, hosted data? I mean, the data that's hosted somewhere, it's encrypted, and only the owner has access to it. Does the data provider still need to be GDPR compliant, or because he doesn't see what data that actually is he exempt from that? Is that like a gray area, or even if you can provably remove all access from certain data, so nobody can decrypt it anymore, does that count as being deleted, even though it's still there because, let's say, it's on a blockchain or something? Would that count as deleted for GDPR or not? Do you maybe have any insight? Just a wild guess. I'm not sure if you ever spoke
Yeah,
about
like
this.
you say, I only could guess from here. But yeah, my assumption is that by checkmarking the ownership issue and by checkmarking the history, or whatnot, it's not done with that. Like I already said, it's about the physical storage. Where is the data physically hosted? Where is the node located that holds replicas of those files? And on cross network, for example, per file, we have around 30, 32 replications on average. So you upload your file once, and 32 individual nodes spread randomly around the world will basically pick up your file and store it for you. So it's quite hard to make sure that that files will physically be stored just within one region. And GDPR is a little bit more than just ownership, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of work in the future to align GDPR with the evolving tech, right? With how crypto blockchain is evolving, there might need to be some amendments done there. But yeah, let's see what happens. And on the other topic that you mentioned before we went down this GDPR rabbit hole, yes, we did have a nice chat about how you're using basically, Sapphire as a key manager for your encrypted files, and that potentially this could actually be a service of its own, right? It, not necessarily just a part of Trust Files, but as there are many other dApps, that do need encryption keys or any other type of key, that they can use like a similar service where they can just call a key and they get it provided for, I don't know, even
Yeah.
rule keepers for wallets and stuff like that. So that is potentially a very interesting use case that we could further develop from what you did with the integration of Sapphire into Crust.
Yeah, 100%. The key management module, or if you want to call it like that, which we built with Crust Files, is a great, side product, if you want to call it like this, which could be applied in a very composable way to other applications as well, as some kind of a plug and play solution. So it's definitely something which where I can see a lot of use cases, and I'm super happy and looking forward to pursue this.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to speak more on this topic, and as things evolve, we'll also update the community. So I don't want to keep you too long here. Do you have anything else that you want to share with our community? Any exciting news or anything that you wanted to just get out there to Crust and Oasis communities?
Yeah, I just want to give you guys a big thanks and a shout out to all your team members. We were super happy with how the grant process worked. You have been super transparent, responsive, and helped us along the way. And it was a super seamless and flawless experience. And we are happy that we gained like a reliable partner with Oasis, and looking forward to broaden the horizon for innovative Web3 solutions.
Oh, thank you very much, Luke, for that. And I can say the feeling is mutual. It was a pleasure working with you. You know, the process was very straightforward and lean for us as well. You came, we agreed, you know, on what needs to be done, and who's going to do what, and the product was live in a matter of a few weeks or a month or two. So yeah, it was a pleasure working with you, and hopefully this is just the start of a very good relationship or partnership going forward. So let's leave it on a high note here. And yeah, I would just like to thank you again, Luz, for coming on today. I'll remind everybody, you know, just as Mihnya said at the beginning, next week, join us on the 5th for the MediaWay System event, you know, with Andrea, our HR manager. And also, yeah, we'll be announcing all the details around the upcoming town hall next week. So yeah, follow our Twitter, our socials, and yeah, see you at the next one. Thank you much, Lute. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.